Now, after the event of the crucifixion, Jesus moved out of Judea, as you said, somewhere outside the reach of
the people of that time.
Yes.
Correct.
But then Christianity took on a different form, or rather the mission of Jesus took on a different form.
No, then Christianity remained true to its form, and what was left behind began to change.
Yes, that's true. But the figure of Paul appeared on the scene, and we have a different...
Much later.
Yes. My question is really, I mean, how do we regard Paul? Because the Christianity that we know today is really
You see, the
Paulinism.
Christianity got divided right in the beginning, not immediately after the departure of Jesus Christ, but a few years after that, when it is claimed that St. Paul saw him in a vision. And he instructed himself. And the vision was so lifelike that the way he described it seemed as if Jesus had himself appeared and instructed him that I am going somewhere and then you better take over and do this and that. Now, from then on, the Pauline age begins. What was there before? The 12 disciples of Jesus Christ, his apostles, who were directly instructed by him himself as to the nature of his religion and the claim of his faith, status and so on. None of them agreed with Paul. So would you weigh, on the one hand, putting this on the scale, St. Paul's vision, on the other, the evidence of 12 disciples of Jesus Christ who stood by him throughout his life, who suffered with him and for him, who knew what Christianity was, learned what Christianity was from Jesus Christ himself. They were all adamant that Christ did not bring a new religion. They were all adamant that he was a prophet of God, not son in the literal form. They were all united in this opinion that Judaism remains to be their faith, and they cannot break their links with Judaism. This was their position exactly as the position of Jamaat Ahmadiyya vis-à-vis the rest of the Muslims. And this is the true faith. Now, what happened then happened now in our case as well. Within 70 years or so of this debate, the Jewish people had started coercing the loyal Christians, that is, those who remained loyal to the message of Jesus Christ and whatever he had taught them. They wanted to force them out of Jewish temples because they would go to the Jewish temple and say their prayers there. They insisted on having their right to belong to Judaism. You know what they did? According to law, perhaps they couldn't throw them out. So what they did was they added to their services some extremely insulting words for Jesus Christ. Blasphemous passages were added to their prayers. So anybody who enters the temple would pray in the words prescribed. And those words said, Jesus was a cursed man, and this is Nauzubillah min Zalik, and, you know, blasphemous portions were added. This is how they test the truth of a true Muslim today. Unless he blasphemes against Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam, profession of kalama la ilaha illallah can prove his being a Muslim at all. You may say it 100,000 times, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. The mullah would say, still not enough. The only kalima which is acceptable to us to prove your identity as Muslim is say, La ilaha Muhammad Rasulullah, and then abuse Mirza Ghulam Ahmad of Qadian as a liar and imposter and this and that. This is how the history repeats itself, you see. exactly the same measure taken by them as the Jewish people did earlier. But those who suffered at their hands were not the Paulians. They themselves had broken away from Christianity. They were not targeted, never targeted by them. Those who were targeted were the true Muslims who were called Ebonites or Nasranis, Nazarenes. And they were the monotheists who never accepted the doctrine of Godhead of Jesus Christ. Right? You got it?
Yes, sir. So Paul then is really like a, shall we say, an apostate, or, I mean, what is his position? How can we regard
him? His position is that of all such people who add innovations in religions and lead the people away from truth to falsehood, from light to darkness. That is his position, because he was for numbers. He wanted to add number to Christianity and become a leader, and because himself he had been a very staunch Jew before. He was one of those who hated Jesus Christ and his message. So his own personality is cloaked in many doubts, who he was, what he wanted to do. All that we know is that he wanted to assume the unchallenged leadership, unshared leadership of the new Christianity which he gave birth to. And as such, we must pay a tribute to him for his wisdom, only limited sense of wisdom, of growing as a great leader of his time, and adopting a strategy which made him successful, although Christianity lost to that stratagem. But he became very successful. What he did was, he started supporting the mythical doctrines or views of Romans who had believed in a sort of Trinity before Jesus Christ, in which Son played a very important role. And that sort of Trinity did exist before Jesus Christ, and it is to that the Holy Quran refers to when it says that they are only following, there is no Trinity, but they are only following the traditions of the earlier people. So it is Saint Paul, which without name is in fact mentioned there, the Christianity which took birth from Saint Paul followed the olden mythical and legendary beliefs in a sort of tripartite God, which they began to follow, and there's no more to it. So by giving in to the popular views of the Romans, he thought he would escape persecution at the hands of Romans and also at the hands of the Jewish people, because he had himself admitted, we have nothing to do with you. But he failed in at least one thing. The Romans continued to treat them with doubt and suspicion, and even the Pauline Christians were occasionally persecuted by the Romans. But much more so, according to the evidence of the caves, we know that even in Rome, true Christianity of Jesus' stem did spread. And those people, those early Christians, or the Christians during the 300 years of Christianity, who sought shelter in the caves, did not believe in Trinity. That evidence is being unearthed, and it's amazing. That is why many scholars who study Dead Sea Scrolls and other such things, they sometimes are confused themselves in giving a normal, in the identification of the people of the caves. They say because there is no definite Christian doctrine to be discovered from the archives of these graves, so they said they must have been a Jewish people, because biblical faith was also mentioned there. no Trinity. Unity of God was emphasized, and also Jesus. So, putting them together, they conclude that Christians might have gone there later on, but these caves must have been the shelter of the Jewish people before Jesus Christ. So many theories are now springing up, but the obvious conclusion which should be made, they do not make. That is, the people were truly Christians. They suffered at the hands of the Romans during that period, and the history supports this view. And not for the sake of their view in Trinity, because that view agreed with theirs. The Roman Empire must have targeted those Christians who believed in the unity of God as against their own belief. So our research group is further investigating into all these things and the evidence, how to read it, and so on and so forth. So there's a lot to come yet from our research group, inshallah.